Next on NPR's From the Top.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Hilary Hahn.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, our lineup of outstanding musicians includes an 18-year-old pianist performing Chopin, a teenage string quartet performing Beethoven, and, as you just heard, guest artist violinist Hilary Hahn collaborating with young players who are just about the age she was when her amazing concert career took off. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome, everybody. It's great when we can treat our loyal home audience here in Boston to a particularly special show, kind of a reward for sticking with us through thick and thin. And today's show is special indeed. As Joanne just mentioned, the fabulous violinist Hilary Hahn is here to play two major movements of chamber music with teenagers, and I'm happy to say also a feisty movement of Charles Ives with me. So we had a lot of music to put together when we assembled yesterday afternoon to rehearse, but I really wish we could have bottled the energy and collaborative spirit in that room. Of course, I get to play with great young musicians every week on this show, but it was wonderful to sit back and watch a guest artist of Hilary's stature so totally share my enthusiasm for working with teenage colleagues. The results of those long rehearsals are pretty amazing, and you'll get to hear them in the second half of our show today. But let's set the stage for Hilary Hahn by hearing some teenagers performing on their own. And to start things off, we have a gifted 18-year-old pianist from Honolulu. Please welcome Deborah Young. That's a warm welcome for you, Deborah. Perhaps not Waikiki warm, but Boston warm is pretty good. Welcome to the show. Tell everybody what you're going to play.
I'll be playing the Andante Spianato Grand Polonaise Brillante by Chopin.
The stage is yours. Please take it from the top. Thank you. Deborah Young, 18-year-old pianist from Honolulu, Hawaii. Thank you so much for bringing us one of my absolute favorite Chopin pieces and playing it so exuberantly and passionately.
Just a You're wonderful welcome. Job.
I should also say you're a recipient of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. Congratulations.
That's Thank really you. Good news.
If you ask me, the money couldn't go to a nicer kid or to a kid with more eclectic tastes. Let's explore some of your favorite things. Now, Deborah, a lot of kids your age are into Lang Lang or Olga Kern or one of the fine younger pianists like me, but that's not really that's not really you. Who are we listening to playing this Chopin?
This is Vladimir Ashkenazy, and he is playing the Ballade No. 1 by Chopin.
So why do you like Ashkenazy so much?
Ashkenazy is just amazing. The way he is so detailed in all the little scales and everything, but also he captures something special in the music, so like the big picture also.
I agree completely. Wonderful pianist. So refined taste in pianists, but equally refined tastes in cuisine.
Hi, I'm Jared. It's the $2.69 sub of the day deal at Subway restaurants. Subway, eat fresh.
Nice plug there, Deborah, but why Subway? What are you into Subway about?
I love Subway because you can personalize your sandwich, you know, like...
Would you write your name in mayonnaise on the bun or something? What does that mean?
I guess you could if you wanted
could,
to,
yeah.
But it's healthy. Uh-huh. They also have a $5.99 special, or is it $5 here?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
My son and I have this argument all the time. He's saying, are you into the teriyaki chicken?
Yes,
yeah, that's a good
my
one.
Favorite.
I'm more of a Quiznos guy myself.
Oh, never tried Quiznos before.
Oh, well, there you go. New things on the horizon for you, my dear. That's great. So when your belly's full with a toasted Italian, is it true that you sit back and listen to this?
We've only just begun to
The Carpenters? How did you even hear of the Carpenters, much less come across them and find them to your liking?
During Christmas, you know, they have all those Christmas marathons, so I hear Karen Carpenter singing Merry Christmas, Darling, and so I just fell in love with her voice, and
nice.
I got hooked.
That's good. An inspiring artist, I would agree with you, Karen Carpenter. Can't quite go with you wholeheartedly there. I kind of like Chrissy Hynde's Christmas music myself, or Vince Guaraldi from the Charlie Brown Christmas. But anyway, your taste in movies is quite highbrow.
I don't know how to say goodbye.
Don't try.
It's Audrey Hepburn and Gregory Peck in Roman Holiday, but it's not the plot that you appreciate the most about that movie. What is it you like the best?
It's her fashion.
Of course.
Yeah, so I love reading biographies, so I read a biography of Gregory Peck, who is the co-star of Audrey Hepburn, and he said when he went to China after he made this movie, he walks out and he sees all these Chinese little Audrey Hepburns with the pixie hair and the skirt, and so... I also... try to copy her wardrobe sometimes, but so the night before school, I'm like, okay, gonna wear this. And then tomorrow morning, you see me rush out with sweatpants and shirt.
Well, she made that look pretty good too, I think, and I bet you would too. I'm glad you kept your hair long. It's a good look for you.
Thank you.
Lastly, tell everybody why this represents one of your favorite things. Always the high ground on From the Top of a toilet flushing. That's good. It's not for the obvious thing. Why does that remind you of one of your favorite things?
The bathroom is my library. So I guess I'm the first one to confess this. I don't know how many of you out in the audience do this, but I keep a stack of books in my bathroom, and I actually choose which bathroom to go to according to which books are in the bathroom.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
You're good.
Thank you.
Bet your mom loves that.
No, she doesn't. She cleans it out, and 5 minutes later, the same old books are in the bathroom again, in the same places.
You just insist. A girl with your intellectual acuity simply must use every minute of the day wisely. And I for one, will use the euphemism of the library from now on myself. That's very good. Thank you again for the show, Pat, and thank you for being with us, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Deborah Young, 18-year-old pianist from Honolulu.
Listen to From the Top on demand and watch exclusive videos at fromthetop.npr.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Well, only on From the Top could we go from the sound of a toilet flushing to the sound of Beethoven, actually to the sound of one of his greatest masterpieces, the Grosse Fuge for String Quartet. And to play a major excerpt of this work, we have up next a very talented teenage quartet made up of Hilary Dittmars and Jennifer Charnas, both 17-year-old violinists. Paris Ellsworth, our violist, is 16, and his brother, Jonah, 13, plays the cello. They're all from the Boston area, and they're all students at New England Conservatory's Preparatory Division. Please welcome the Harlow Quartet. Violinist Jennifer Charnas is at the microphone. Jennifer, why the name Harlow Quartet?
Our group met at Greenwood Music Camp, the most amazing place in the world, and yeah. And Greenwood is located on Harlow Road, and so we decided to become the Harlow Quartet.
Makes sense. Okay. Tell everybody about this piece. It wasn't originally a freestanding work, the Grosse Fuge, was it?
It was originally supposed to be the finale of Beethoven's String Quartet, Opus 130. And his publisher and the public hated it so much, he got hate mail and all the peer pressure, he had to recreate a different finale. And it's just like, the Grosse Fuge is kind of weird, you'll hear it, but like, it's amazing, so
very demanding.
We don't like the other finale.
It lives on as one of Beethoven's most introspective and difficult works. I'm very excited to hear you guys play this. The stage is yours. The Harlow Quartet, ages 13 to 16, from here in the Boston area, playing Beethoven. Really glorious, you guys. Just great to hear it, great to see it. See the way you play it. You all put this quartet together in order to play this piece. Isn't that right, Hillary?
That's right. As Jenny said before, we all met at Greenwood Music Camp, which is a chamber music camp. And while we were there this summer, we got the idea that it'd be really cool if we were able to play this piece. Our coach, John Jarko, is actually our coach at Greenwood as well. And I think he was the one who came up with the idea, talked to a couple of us about it. We got really excited, really nervous, because not a lot of quartets take on this piece. Mm-hmm. But we decided that this was a goal we wanted to work towards.
So. Yeah. As I said, this is one of the most intimidating pieces of music ever written for string quartet. I mean, you're not supposed to play this until you're all graybeards, you know? And why start with this? I mean, Jenny, you know, this piece, you know, usually you start out with a Haydn quartet or a Brahms quartet, something, you know, fun. You know, why this?
Well, we were supposed to start out with, we thought we were going to start out with the first movement of 130. Mm-hmm. And eventually work our way to the Grosse Fugue after we completed those movements. But so we're all, you know, during the summer working on the first movement, you know, calling each other, yeah, you know, I got that part, that one's done,
I'm
totally great. And then our coach sent their mom an email saying, oh, in about 2 weeks when we see everyone, I want the Grosse Fugue learned. And immediately the phone call started to fly, and Hillary called me, she goes, did you hear about the email?
Like,
I know. And I was like, no, what's going on? And she's like, we have to know the Grosse Fugue. And my first reaction was, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
You guys, you know, Paris and Joni, you're brothers. Hillary and Jennifer, you might as well be sisters, yes? You've known each other how
long?
Yeah,
Jenny and I met each other when we were, I don't know, maybe 8. We played together in a baby string quartet here at NEC a long time ago.
We did Beethoven.
We did Beethoven. Not
Decline a few.
And we've gone to Greenwood together for so many years. We're really close. And we're all four of us are really close, which helps a lot.
Like, I know they're brothers, but, like, it's, like, literally, like, we're all siblings.
Yeah. How about it? You guys, as brothers, you get along most times?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like, we used to fight a lot, but then Paris became, like, steadily more scared of me, so we...
What's the intimidation there, Paris?
I think it's his Schwarzenegger resemblance.
It is. It's true. I know he's a mean spiker on the volleyball court.
He is.
But
never on me.
That's right.
That doesn't happen.
No. So has the closeness helped you put this piece together,
yeah,
David, would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, I think group compatibility is one of the most important parts of being in a group together, and I think it's really helped us play
yeah.
well.
Like, we knew each other, like, really well at Greenwood, but, like, as we kept on rehearsing, I think we just, like, built this, like, huge relationship with each other, and just, we trust each other so much now, and, like, we know how each other play, and we have a great time.
We're all really good friends, which helps in chamber music rehearsals, because we're not afraid to say, that was bad, you were wrong, without it being offensive. I mean, yeah. We can be very honest with each other, which helps a lot.
You've got each other's backs. You know, your musical knowledge of each other certainly was helpful as we rehearsed the Dvorak Quintet we're going to play with Hillary Hahn at the end of the show. Three of you are coming back to participate in that, but Jenny, you're sweetly going to go step aside to make room for Miss Hahn, so we really owe you a special thanks, and this was really an extraordinary performance, and so glad we got to hear it. So glad you're all here for that.
Thank you.
The rest of you, we'll see you later on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Harlow String Quartet from the Boston area. Dave Dittmars and Jennifer Charnas, both 17-year-old violinists. Paris Ellsworth, 16-year-old violist, and his brother, Jonah, 13-year-old cellist. Well, it's time to meet our special guest artist. Actually, Hillary Hahn may be the perfect adult guest for this show because so many of our From the Top kids consider her a hero. That's in part because she was so young when she was first noticed as an especially gifted violinist, but I think it's also because, even as Hillary performs with the great orchestras all over the world and records best-selling CDs, she's still young enough to remember what it was like to be a teenage classical musician. I mean, this woman can truly relate. Ladies and gentlemen, the great Hillary Hahn. Hillary, great to have you with us. And
good to be
congratulations,
here.
By the way, and thanks for putting Schoenberg on top of the classical charts. I mean, you know, proof positive that great music in passionate hands can withstand even the public's disdain of things they don't know about. It's just fantastic, a beautiful performance. The Sibelius is on the record too, so that probably helps, but good for you. Hey, before you and I play with our kids, I was wondering, may I have the first dance?
Sure.
As it were?
Sure.
Well then, thank goodness we rehearsed something. Tell everybody about this crazy piece, and then we'll play it.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange first dance, I suppose, but it's twisted and charming at the same time. It's the second movement of the Third Sonata by Charles Ives, a New England composer, so we're in the right place.
And also a courteous piece by Charles Ives, I mean, especially as it's our first dance. Charles Ives actually wrote a couple of bars to be repeated with the notation saying, if ragged, repeat. In other words, if you're lost, play this until you all catch up with each other.
Yeah.
We'll give it a try.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hilary Hahn joining us for Charles Ives' Violin Sonata No. 3, the second movement, the Allegro. Wild violin sonata.
That was fun.
That was fun. Like that. I got to admit it, that's a tougher piano part than the usual accompaniment I'm used to for violin sonatas, but I think...
Well, it's collaboration.
It's a collaboration. It's a good one.
The violin is on top, and the piano is just losing its mind.
Losing its absolute... Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that for me.
You're welcome.
Hilary, I hope you're going to be treating me better as an interviewer than you did the host of your very first radio broadcast. What was that? When was that?
Well, I think I've done a good job already. My first radio interview was actually a prize I won as part of a competition. And I think it transpired when I was 11. And I didn't know how to interview. I mean, people had tried to teach me a little bit here and there. But when he asked me the questions, it just seemed right to say yes or no or mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, that was when you were 11 and the youngest student at the Curtis Institute. Well, you actually started at Curtis when you were 10, and you were studying with a legend at the school.
I studied with Yasha Brodsky, who was a student of Izai, who was a student of Finyavsky and Virton. So that's quite a violin lineage.
Yeah.
And I feel very honored to be connected through one generation to Izai, who was born in the 1850s, not to mention as far back as the lineage can be traced.
And then, of course, with Yasha Brodsky's advice, well, with the advice of all sorts of people like Maestro David Zinman, who was then music director of the Baltimore Symphony, your parents and you decided not to rush into a professional or concertizing career. I mean, you were kind of picking and choosing where to play or how often to play.
Yeah, and there were some people actually in the Baltimore Symphony who were really helpful to me. David Zinman was a mentor very early on, and he arranged for a woman in the administration of the Baltimore Symphony to act as a manager so I wouldn't have to have management, and my family wouldn't have to be dealing with being intermediaries before I felt like I was ready to actually embark on a more full-time career. So until I was 16, I didn't have management, I didn't sign with a record company. Stuff came up, but I just felt like it was important for me to continue the study that I was doing, and I just wanted to finish all that. That was the advice that people gave me, and it was really good advice.
I guess you played a lot of the early things just to get performing, you know, under your belt, playing a lot of retirement homes and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, little small venues. And what was that like? Was it nice having sort of that direct contact with the audience? Did it help?
It is really nice. You get used to various, shall we say, interesting performing situations because often the pianos aren't well maintained and there's no stage in particular. You might be playing in the cafeteria for a bunch of people gathered around on seating that's been temporarily set up. But it's a wonderful experience. And part of the experience is getting used to those different environments. And because people can't always hear very well, and they don't always turn up their hearing aids, you get immediate feedback. So...
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I would be playing, and I'd hear a commentary running throughout the entire performance. Because they'd be whispering to their next-door neighbor.
I know.
Why doesn't she turn in our direction? So I'd turn in their direction.
Nice.
And, you know, it was fascinating because a lot of the people who would go to those concerts, they were maybe not so mobile at that time, but they would have gone and seen Heifetz perform live.
Exactly,
they would
yeah.
have seen Elman and Kreisler, and they told me these wonderful stories. So I would encourage anyone looking for a performance opportunity to just approach local retirement communities and get together a group of your friends and go play a chamber concert or do a split solo performance. It's really great.
What would you say you were like, I mean, aside from the studying and the performing and the really thoughtful way that you put that musical part of your life together, what were you like as a young kid?
It was really fun. I mean, I went to regular public school till I was about in fifth grade. Then I did a couple years of homeschooling to kind of bridge the gap between that and Curtis. And that's the nice thing about living in a place like Baltimore. You have a lot of cultural exposure, but you also have a lot of, you know, non-musical things around to do. And whenever I would express an interest in something, I was encouraged to pursue it. So I was very fortunate. I wasn't one of those kids that sneaks out at night or anything. I was probably pretty tame in comparison to most people, but I was also exhausted at the end of the day.
Sure, yeah.
I was practicing. I always love doing as well as I can in academics, so I would do all my homework and it was like one thing to another.
Yeah.
But I liked all of it, so I was happily tired at the end of the day.
Happily tired, gratified.
Yeah.
As we will be in the second half of our show when we get to play some chamber music with these teenagers on our show. You're up for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. All right. First, we're going to take a quick break. So, Hillary, you can go sit in the From the Top hot tub here on the Jordan Hall stage while I play something, and then we'll play some beautiful Schubert. In the meantime, okay. Thanks for putting me through my paces with that, Ives. It was a great pleasure.
Yeah, me too. Thanks.
Hillary Hahn.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week we're coming to you from New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. New England Conservatory, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Coming up, our special guest violinist Hillary Hahn collaborates with four teenage musicians on a slow movement of Schubert and a rollicking scherzo by Dvorak. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Hillary, we're about to play this absolutely gorgeous Andante from the B-flat Schubert Trio, and to do that, we're going to need a cellist. But not just any cellist. We found an 18-year-old from Houston who just happens to be your number one fan. Well, that's what he claims, anyway. His name is Branson Yeast, and it goes without saying that when we called him to ask whether he could come to Boston to actually play with you, he was over the moon. And you could feel his excitement and his nerves when he walked into the rehearsal room yesterday to work with you.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Branson.
It's nice to meet you. I met you at Encore, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Last summer.
Yeah, at the question and answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I talked to you a little bit.
Cool. Good to see you again.
I'm just on cloud nine. I'm so excited. I hope my bow doesn't shake the whole time.
Oh, my bow shakes too, so okay. We're fine. We can
we'll shake together.
Ah! There you go. Okay, so let's get our instruments out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Branson Yeast. Branson, happy to state that you are another one of our Jack Kent Cook Foundation young artists. So you're getting the big bucks, 10 large, from us. But tell everybody what you said when we called to say we were thinking of having you play with Hillary Hahn.
I said I'd give up all the money to play with Hillary Hahn.
I think he meant he'd give it to me, you know.
Actually, we should be, as in chamber music, we should be equal partners. We can split it between the three of them. Actually, it's not necessary, but speaking of equal partners, it's been pretty nice putting this together.
I've worked with a lot of people of different ages, and I've often been the younger one in the group. And you know what really matters is when you're performing together or working together that you're on the same page musically, and I've really enjoyed the rehearsal process with the two of you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
It's been a great pleasure. So, Branson, why don't you introduce the piece for us?
We're playing the Andante from the B-flat piano trio by Schubert.
Thank you.
The Andante movement of Schubert's Piano Trio No. 1 in B-flat, Opus 99. Hilary Hahn was the violinist, and her cellist was 18-year-old Branson Yeast from Houston. That was amazing. Loved doing that with you guys. This was a new movement for all three of us, I believe, yes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was nice getting to know it. I'll always remember it. Hilary?
The slow movements are really special.
Slow movements are always fun.
Yeah.
Did you have a good time?
Yes.
Good.
Definitely.
More to the point, Branson, what did you think?
It was really great to be here. Yeah. It's really fun.
Branson, besides being Hilary's chamber music partner today, you'll soon have something else in common with her. What's
I'm
that?
Going to Curtis next year, so.
Yay! Excited. Yeah.
It is sort of a dream. Has it always been your dream to go to Curtis, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I have lots of goals, and yeah, it's just looking up for me right now. So.
That's great. That's wonderful. Hilary, any advice, any words of wisdom about going to Curtis for Branson?
Well, Branson is going to be studying with David Sawyer, who is, famously of the Guarneri Quartet. And when I went, my teacher had been the first violinist of the Curtis String Quartet for a long time, and we figured out that Mr. Sawyer is about the same age that Mr. Brodsky was when I started studying with him. So there's something really nice about that pedagogical passing on of knowledge, and coming from the chamber music perspective, because you can take the chamber music attitude into orchestra and into solo work, and it applies to everything, and there's very little else that does. Yeah. So. I really benefited from doing as much orchestra and chamber music and solo all at the same time as possible. Yeah. And Curtis does really put equal emphasis on all of those.
It's a great community. A neat place. Yeah. Wonderful, supportive, and inspiring community. And Branson, we're so glad we found Hillary's number one fan down there in Houston, and so glad we got a chance to play.
Someone else has dibs on number one.
I know, dibs on number one. Branson, thanks for being with us. Bravo.
Thank you.
Branson Yeast, 18-year-old cellist.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.npr.org. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org.
Well, Hilary, we have one more piece of chamber music to play with our kids, so as promised, let's bring back those three members of the Harlow Quartet, the Boston area quartet we heard playing Beethoven earlier in the show. We have Hilary Dittmars, 17-year-old violinist, joining us, as well as violist 16-year-old Paris Ellsworth and cellist 13-year-old Jonah Ellsworth. Hilary, with one L, tell everybody what you and I are going to play with these great teenage musicians.
We are going to play the scherzo from the Piano Quintet by Dvorak.
Hilary Hahn, before we play, thank you so much for being on From the Top. It's been
thank
a great,
you.
Great time from beginning to end.
Me
thank
too.
You so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
This Dvorak scherzo is a great way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and again thank the wonderful Hilary Hahn and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardius-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore with lighting by Tori Sweetser. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.